Today's daf in Masechet Nida brought to you from Johannesburg is daf Yud Gimel. We begin today the second perek. So we left off yesterday with the discussion of the appropriateness of bdikot. So we said, would it be a good idea for her to be bodeket, kadam latashmish? And we said better to avoid it because you don't want her husband to be libo nokfo v'porish. We even said, according to one pshat, that even to be tovea, specifically having in mind that she should be thinking about whether she was raya, would be itself damaging. So we were very makpid not to do bedikas. And yet, our Halakha Mishnah opens with the words kol hayada marbel livdok ben hashim mishubachat, which means the more she tries to see whether she was raya nidais, the better off she is. So some learn that this means dafka, where she's no second betarot. So as we saw before, no second betarot or bedikot are not seen or not perceived by her husband have anything to do with him. They're basically there because she's a second betarot. Because of that, she should be bodeket the more often the better, because lamaisa, she's going to end up that way, protecting her husband from any suffix nidah. She just doesn't talk about her husband at all. So the other way of learning it, however, is that what we're talking about over here is even an isha who is generally not osekit b'tarot, but nonetheless, when her husband isn't around, and where it's not nogeya lifnei tashmish l'achar tashmish, even she should be bodeket in such a way that her husband isn't sensitive to it. And this is a din in bedikas for all women, shelo b'fnei ba'aleha. Okay, this is a big machlokes, I don't understand the Mishnah. So for a woman to be bodeket et atzma, that's a good thing. But for a man to be bodeket et atzma, which would mean handling his penis, which is going to turn him on, so ba'anashim tikatzeitz, there's no value, there's no added value for a person to go poking around to see, maybe I was had a wet dream or something and I didn't notice, you know. And meanwhile, he'll give himself a wet not dream. And because of that, we want to make sure that he's not in touch with his own possible arousal. So why is it that we're mishabeach nashim, but we're not mishabeach anashim or abaydek? Because nashim lav benot hargashan ninu. Women do not become aroused by checking their vagina. And because of that, we have no chashash that they will be osait in masturbation. And some learn that it isn't the question of the arousal issue, it's the question of that there isn't any semen to waste. And therefore, since we're not really concerned with arousal, what we're concerned about is shechvat zer levatala. Whole question in the Tosfos HaRosh, whether a woman is considered to have the equivalent of fluids that are there only for sexual purposes, and therefore she is capable of arousal and is capable of generating these fluids, but since they're internal, there's no sense of wastage that's involved. Okay, there's a whole discussion. What could that possibly mean? I mean, fluids are what? Lubricating fluids, what does it have to do with wastage? Wastage means in terms of information, something that's valuable. And that of course, semen is valuable. It's a 14 billion year project. I mean, you don't throw around information like that in a garbage heap. But for an isha, there's nothing to be makbid on. It's different pshatim in what we mean by lav benot hargashaninu. So for them, there's no downside, basically. So either because it doesn't lead them to masturbation, or if it does, there's nothing wrong with female masturbation. Yeah, but anashim, males, on the other hand, b'nei hargashaninu, who will become aroused and may indeed masturbate tikatzitz. Iachi, so ma'ari marbel. Wait, I don't get it. If the problem is you're concerned that the guy is going to end up wasting his own semen, so what does that have to do with how often he checks? It's not a question of often. You're telling me that you should not really be fooling around with your penis. That's what you're saying. So if that's the case, why does it say marbe? As you just say, a hand that is thrust to play around with a penis should be cut off. So kikatani marbe, says the Gemara, the Mishnah that says marbe wasn't referring to the second part, ba'anashim, was referring to the first part. The more that an isha is bodeket, the better. And then Bechlal, an ish who would be bodek at all, not the more. The words, tikatzeitz. In other words, we consider the Mishnah to be comprised basically of two parts. You're supposed to understand yourself. The Rizem Anashim tikatzeitz has nothing to do with being marabeh. Tana. Where does the Mishnah say this? That's dafkal inyan shikvat zera. That's only because there's no need for you to be bodek. So and why should you assume that there was a kashash for shikvat zera that you should be sitting and poking around? Somebody who was already a zov. So now he has to count the number of re'ios that he has. And don't confuse zivot with semen. It's not semen that we're talking about. Zivot is basically a prostate fluid that doesn't necessarily contain sperm at all. But the issue over here is that the Torah, first of all, you need to know if you, in fact, are, this is a pathology. So if you're afflicted with this, you need to know how many re'ios you saw, because according to the number of re'ios, that's the level of tumor that you have, as opposed to a woman where it's nogea only the yamin, not the riyot. And furthermore, if you needed to keep shiva nekiyim after being a zav gadol, then of course you'll have to check. And because of that, here, since you have to check, there's no iser, because there's a purpose in your checking, and we don't view it as being something that it leads to arousal. Others say that no, the point is that since we're talking about zivot, you won't come to arousal because there will be pain in arousal. You don't want to get an erection, and the whole area is irritated because of the zivot, and that's why we're not chreshish. But it's not that we're not concerned. If there would be a question of arousal, we would say, so go and be boded yourself. Okay. You know, I mean, that's difficult to say. So what are you supposed to do? And obviously, you need to be bodic for zivas. But all right, it's a question whether you'll need to take an alternative approach. And the truth is, even linear chichvat zera, if the question is that you're, let's say, you're eichel trumais, so you want to make absolutely certain you didn't have a wet dream, even though you didn't remember anything of it, so you can check yourself. Just don't check yourself by hand. That's all. So b'meila im balivdok b'tzror or b'cheres, you want to check with something that is hard and is not going to be arousing you, so that was fine. Then it's a filling in shikvat zera. It's also okay. So in balivdok b'tzror or b'cheres, you can be bodek with a stone or with a piece of pottery. Wait a minute. Only with that? You can't. I thought the question over here is you don't want your fingers on your penis. I thought you could use a cloth to be bodek. But matlit lo, you're not allowed to check with a cloth. V'atanya bodek atzmo b'matlit. You can check yourself with a matlit or whatever you want. B'chol davar sherotzeh. No, it's Abaya explained elsewhere. We'll see in a minute where that is. B'matlit ava. That's not talking about a soft thing. That's talking about like a thick material that is not going to create any sensation. So that's the same thing as a tzror or a piece of pottery or cheres. So we mean a thick material. What was Abaya talking about when he said you can use a thick material? He was going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah later on says, a guy who is being eichel b'truma and senses that he's about to ejaculate, and now it's too late for him to do anything about it. He doesn't have time to swallow. He's not allowed to eat truma if he's a balkari. If he spits out the truma, so then he's going to be ma'abe truma. You're not allowed to waste truma. We're talking about a case where the truma is going to be ruined. In other words, it's not as if he has something in his mouth that if he spits it out, it could be re-eaten at a later time. So in other words, if he's going to spit this out, he's going to ruin it. So what he should do is, he should squeeze his penis tight to prevent ejaculation for an additional half a second, swallow what it is that's in his mouth, and then let go. So then he squeezes his penis and he swallows the truma in time. And the question is, how is he allowed to do that? Ocheiz. I thought the whole idea is, V'atani Reb Eliezer Omer, Kol Ocheiz Ba'amator Mashtin, even if you hold your penis lightly and you urinate, Kilu Mevim Abul Olam, we assume that you're going to end up masturbating. We're machmer on this, and we don't want you in touch with anything that may cause you arousal. So we look at it as if you already have done this. So how can we possibly give a guy such a brilliant etzah that he's about to ejaculate to squeeze? My gosh, it's the worst thing to do. Omar Abaye. Why do we say Mabul, Leola? Because remember that the Dor HaMabul, the Gemara says, Barotchen Kilkalu, that basically was for masturbation, for wasting of all of the information of the whole process of Bria. That carelessness caused them to be roasted, so that they were the sexual element of what they did was not just the being dovek lein aminam. For that, they could be wiped out. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka opened up the waters of the Tahom, which are hot from the heat of the earth, because since they were involved in heat, so to speak, semen is hot. They were wiped out with hot water. So if that's the case, somebody who is osik in this, it's as if he brings a marble oil. In other words, we're trying to be marking him as much as possible. We'll see later on the reason we're makbib to this extent, even though it seems a little bit exaggerated, is because we're concerned with the most common activities that people will be attracted to. So even if they are not in and of themselves so awful, but as the Gemara says, if you start allowing yourself to ignore the Yetzer Hara. So, you know, okay, so today he tells you to do a little thing, tomorrow he tells you to do a bigger thing, and ultimately you end up getting used to the idea of I do what I want. So since masturbation is a comfort food, people will search for comfort, that's the time to stop it. So Mamela, we look at the beginning of the process as something that should be very strongly avoided. So in this case, Abaye answered. Here's where Abaye says it. Omer Abaye, when he says, when you say you should squeeze your penis, it's talking about using a matlit ava. So just like he said over there, because there's no real sensation. That's basically just like clamping yourself shut. You know, if you're going to tell me, put a clamp over your penis, the guy's going to say, that's not exactly arousing, to say the least. So over here, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a matlit ava. Rav says, not true. In this case, you could squeeze even directly. If you think about titraka, because if you're about to ejaculate, it doesn't make any difference at this point. You're not going to change anything. So therefore, who cares? Kivan da akar akar. Once already you're about to ejaculate, you're not going to get it back in again. And therefore, you're not going to cause any more damage in terms of wasting semen by squeezing. Va'abaye, so that is a good point, says Abaye, yes, but urcheshesh dima ati l'sufe. You may end up causing a greater amount of wastage. And so, wait a minute, and Rava is not chayish l'sufe. V'rava lo chayish dima ati l'sufe, v'lo. Do we not have a brayta later on that says that walking around with your hand on your penis is alamazadome l'noten etzba ba'ayin? You put your finger in your eye. So what happens? You get a little bit of you, what's going to, oh no. You get a little bit of tearing, you know, and then maybe the tearing will stop, and you get more tearing. So the same thing is happening, you know, maybe you're not literally masturbating, but there's always a little bit of fun, a little bit of wastage here and there. And that's like a tearing eye. So you see that the Braita says that it is possible to continue this wasting. So why is he not Dilma Atila Sufa? He should be Cheshish for the same thing. So how do you explain the Braita later on? Shekol Zman Shetz Babai. And as long as you keep your finger in your eye is going to keep leaking fluid. Kol Zman, you keep your finger on your penis, you're going to be leaking semen. So Ayin Medam Ma'at V'chozer to Medam Ma'at. Whereas Rava says, yeah, but that's not talking about ejaculation. Here we're talking about orgasm. So that, it's awfully rare for a guy to turn himself on after he just ejaculates. And therefore, why do we have to be cheshesh for somebody being mosif?
I don't understand the comparison at all.
No, because it's not, it's talking about over there, somebody doesn't literally masturbate. But he's constantly stimulating himself. There's always a little bit of semen.
Turning himself on.
Yeah.
Constantly.
So over there, we're cheshish that he's going to continue a couple of drops here, a couple of drops there. So he'll stop before actual total ejaculation. But over here, we're talking about where the guy's about to ejaculate totally. So over there, what is there to be cheshish? What he's going to turn himself on again? That's very unlikely. In this case, that brighta is referring to two completely different phenomena. Over here, we're talking about to once again get turned on immediately after ejaculation. That's lo shchichah. Gufa. Let's get back to what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol orchez ba'amah umashtin kilo mevim abul ha'olam." Guy holds on to his penis, even for purposes of urination. Disaster. Omrula le Rabbi Eliezer. That's ridiculous. What do you mean? I mean, what are you supposed to do? Remember, in those days, they didn't wear pants. They wore these robe-like affairs, like the Arab wears. You urinated. The urine splatters. Gets all over you. You look like a slob. And what, this guy's supposed to urinate without holding his penis, and what? And get splattered with urine, and this is okay? I mean, he's going to be covered with drops of urine. A guy like that walks around looking like an idiot. People are going to say, man, this guy must have got some kind of problem with his penis. Probably can't even have children. What about all those children? That's his wife's lover. You know how it starts. So all of his children are mamzerim. That's how it starts, you know. So, I mean, the end of this process, everybody's got something yummy to talk about. So, it's crazy to act like that. Marlon said, Rabbi Eliezer, you know, it's better to have people talk about your children in this ridiculous way, if that's what you're really chashish for, and not to be a Rasha, Shachat Tefei HaMakom, or you could end up masturbating. So that's better. Tanya Idachna, there's another Braita, where Rabbi Eliezer said to Chachamim, what's the big deal? But there's no way to avoid splattering. I understand. And if you have a hole in the ground that you can urinate into, so there won't be any splattering out of the hole. Or if you have soft dirt or sand, urinate into that. So after Yamod Adam B'Mokom Gavoa B'Yashtin, O Yashtin B'Ofer Tichoach, or you could use loose dirt. V'Al Yaseh Atzmo Rasha Sha'achat Tifnei HaMakom, and don't do something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at you as a Rasha. Well, wait a minute. Does he... This is crazy. Which one did he say first? First he said, well, it doesn't matter. Let them talk. Who cares? Then he says, but there's a way to avoid it. And this is a way to avoid it. Says, why did he say who cares? So which one did he say first? We have two bright that report what Rabbi Eliezer said. Hi, Amar Luberation. Ilam Ekamaita Amar Luberation. If the first bright that we quoted is what he said to them first, so does that make sense? First he tells them, I don't care. Then he says, well, it's not a problem, because you could find out a way to urinate without. So it doesn't make any sense. Then he comes and tells them a takana. So clearly, his first reaction was the brayta that we quoted later. His first reaction was, well, what, that's a big deal. Find yourself a toilet bowl to urinate into. Who's telling you have to urinate in a way that's going to cause nitzotzot? And then they said to him, and if you don't, what happens if you're out somewhere and you need to urinate? What are you supposed to do? Ein lo makom gavor, ein lo afar tichoach. What's he supposed to do then? Amar lam, well, I don't care. Mutav shirtilaz abanav vayasetz bo rasha shachat tifnei makom. I mean, you're talking about basically far fetched issues in both directions. Do you want to talk about a far fetched issue? Don't do something that could lead you to be looked at by a Kaddish Baruch Hu as a rasha. The Kokach Lama, what do we care so much about all of this? Because we're concerned about Matzishik Vatzer Levatala. Even though, according to most Shitas, it's really an Isidra Banan. But there's so many indications in the Torah that this is nasty. Because we find that by Onan, who is the source of Onanism. So it says, Vayera Beinei Hashem et Asher Asah, Vayamet Gamoto. So over there, since it, obviously it's not really a riot, since over there it's talking about trying to avoid the impregnation of a Yavama. I mean, it's not talking about masturbation literally. But nonetheless, you see that there's a Gamoto and there's a Remez that he used to anyway waste his semen. So Mamela Gamoto. No, of course not. Yeah, but over here it's Badafka to not to be Makaima Mitzvah. Kilolo, yes, it's disgusting. Because you're going through the motions and then you want to make sure that you waste your semen. It's crazy. Reb Yitzchak Verabami Amri. Reb Yitzchak Verabami says, you see that the Torah views this as the equivalent of murder. Shafech damim, shenamar, hanechemim ba'elim, tachat kol yitzra anan, those who warm themselves up with these trees, terebinth trees, I think is usually translated. Beneath every fresh tree, shokteya yiladim, shechting the children, b'nechalim, tachatz ipei aslaim. So basically what we're talking about over here is going out in the park and arousing yourself, masturbating. But why does it say shokteya yiladim? Because in context, it doesn't make any sense. The Navi's yelling about doing the kind of things that are indulgent, and then he moves on to murder? Shechting down, this is crazy. The whole scene is ridiculous. So shokteya yiladim, doesn't mean literally shokteya yiladim. It means shokteya yiladim, squeezing the little kids out by wasting the sperm that would create them. So we're viewing this as shokteya yiladim. Ravasi says, look at the weird use of Tachat Kol Eitzra'anan. Tachat Kol Eitzra'anan is a code word for Avodah Zorah. That's where we speak about Abeit Abdunet Kolamikomot Alarim Aramim V'Tachat Kol Eitzra'anan. So therefore, we view this as being similar to being Ovid Avodah Zorah. K'tivach Tachat Kol Eitzra'anan V'K'tivatam Alharim Aramim V'Tachat Kol Eitzra'anan. You know, it's amazing that when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's much worse than this. But you understand, Lashon Hara is just a little bit of issue, but you talk about wasting your semen, God help us, it's the end of the world. It's just such a complete breakdown in understanding the Ramazim of Chazal to Psukim. I mean, we never said it's like Avodah Zarah, and like Arayas, and like murder, and so on. That we're not saying. You know, it's just like the kind of things people like to focus on, It's the kind of things that make them uncomfortable. I'm not allowed to waste my words. You know. Yes. All right. Now, Revira and Shmuel were kaimia ikud de veknish to the Shafi Yossi ben Arda. There was this amazing Beit HaKnesset. One pshat is Shafi Yotiv is simply the name of a particular town in Arda area. Another pshat, which Rashi brings elsewhere, is that the Shafi Yotiv means that was taken apart and resettled. And it's a reference either to the Shechina, meaning that the Shechina came from Eretz Yisrael and settled in Bavel, or it means that at the time of Yechonio, there's a Kabbalah, at the time of Yechonio, they actually brought the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael with them and built a Beit HaKnesset, L'kayim HaShenema, Ki Ratzu Avadecha Tavanea. So Ad Kedei Kach, they wanted so much to be in touch, it's like the Mizrahi Shul over here has the stones that they brought from Eretz Yisrael. Which, of course, nowadays no big deal. But at that time, to carry, while you're going into Golos, the stones to build a Beit HaKnesset is unbelievable. So it was a sense of how valuable Eretz Yisrael was to them. So that was a special makom. And the Gemara elsewhere says that the Shechina in Bavel was connected to the Beit HaKnesset, to Shafi Yativ. So either the Shafi Yativ is literally a mention of the Shechina, or it was a makom of Ashras HaShechina that they felt it was a very special place. So there he was on the roof. They're talking and learning. And Rabbi Yehuda says to him, oh my God, I need to urinate. I'm not going to urinate on the roof of the Beit HaKnesset. I mean, that's like a disgusting thing to do. So what should I do? So Shmuel said to him, what's the problem? Hold your penis, get to the edge of the roof, and make sure that all of the urine goes off to the side. Amalei shinana, echuz be'amatcha v'ashten l'chutz. What? How can he tell them to hold his penis? I thought we said, Tanya Reb Eliezer, I thought this was ulcers. How all of a sudden does it give him an etza to do something like that? Well, he considered, Shmuel, this situation to be the equivalent of the Mishnah about a boleshet. A boleshet is a group of goyim, soldiers that are invading. So now we have a chashash. Maybe any open wine they used for being menasek while they were at it, you know. Say a prayer to Yoshka and pour out some wine while you're there. So the din over there is like this, that a boleshet shenichnas le'ir, if it's b'sha'at shalom, and they're not under attack, and they're just like a marauding army that does what they want, so then any chaviyot, any barrels of wine that are p'tuchot, are usher. Because, you know, if they found any wine, naturally they would give thanks to his Lord Krishna, whoever the heck it is that they worship. But if there's stumot, if the barrels are sealed, then obviously they didn't go in there and reseal the barrels. I mean, they had no reason to do that. So it must be that they ignored those barrels. But if it's b'sha'at milchama, if these guys are worried about a sniper behind the barrel, believe me, that's not what they were thinking about. They were, you know, they were interested in making certain they're not shot. Not that they're, we got time to set up a little church here. That's not the first thing on their mind. So if it's b'sha'at milchama, elu ve'elu mutarot, there's no time right now to be involved in this. So what do you see? Alma given to be'iti, since they're frightened, they're not going to indulge themselves in avodah zarah. Hachanami, if Rabbi Yehuda is be'iti, the Gemara's going to explain why he would be frightened. But since he's frightened, he's not going to indulge himself with masturbation either. Lo'ati l'erhure. What's he frightened about, understand? Hachamai be'itute ike. Well, first of all, it's the middle of the night, it's pitch dark, he's up there with Shmuel, and Shmuel said, go to the edge of the roof. Thank you. Obviously, he's very nervous about standing in this position for very long. So if this is what he's got to do, he's got to do it, but he sure doesn't have time to play around. So he's going to do what he's got to do, and that's it. So he's the be'ite of the Lila and the Igra. It's the middle of the night, and he's at the edge of a roof. Or Ibait Ema, be'tuta de Rabbi, or he's nervous about his Rebbe. What are you doing down there, Yehuda? And so obviously it's not exactly the time to start fooling around. Or Ibait Ema, or it could be that since this was a special makom, which was the Shafiyati, if he's worried about the Shekhinah is present. I mean, it's not like, you know, the Catholics enjoy jerking off in church. You know, this is the Mokama of the presence of the Shekhinah. I mean, that's not what I'm going to do. V'ibaitem, or he could say that in general, Rabbi Yehuda was a person who was so aware of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that to talk about him as being in a position of ejaculating, it's ridiculous. And aim to the mori ale. So even though obviously if there's an iser to hold your penis, it's true about anybody. It doesn't matter, you know, you may be the gadol hador. This is how we define the iser. So we're not saying that it's because ridiculous to think that a guy like this is going to masturbate, that therefore, that's not the point. Because if it's usher, it's usher. We don't make distinctions between people. But the point of the Gemara is like this. Since we know that the situation changes things, v'horaya boleshet, that's Tran Asokable Egypt. Since there is a difference in the circumstance that needs to be taken into consideration in determining Isser vis-a-vis Yayinessa, so it would be Drova here. So therefore, we have a right to determine that this person's level of awareness of the Shekhinah is basically the equivalent of a Boleshet. He's always frightened. Not because he's such a tzaddik he won't masturbate, but he's frightened. So we say if he's frightened, so then you don't have to worry. So this person, Emta de Moriale, this Rabbi Yehuda, was such an amazing human being that he was always in a matzav of Yirat Shamayim. The Kari Shmuel Alei Shmuel used to call that Talmud non-human. Ein Zeh Yilud Isha. This guy is simply not human. So because of that, it's the equivalent of Boleshet. Well, you know what? There could be a whole simple answer to all this. The answer is that the entire thing is talking about kids. Not married men. You're not going to sit there masturbating. If you're that hard up, go find your wife. So, and since Rabbi Yehuda at this time was nasui, if he was nasui, then there wasn't a problem. The Omer of Nachman, ima ya nasui mutar. The whole discussion over here is where he has no options. But if he has sexual options, so that's called pat pisalo. Pat pisalo is you always have a way of satisfying yourself.
Don't we say that? Tzaddikim will always find themselves the ability to have to go urinate.
They
won't be in a matzah where they can't.
Never heard that. All I know is the story of Rabbi Yochanan. He was in the middle of urinating. They said, your mother-in-law's coming down the street. And he said, I'll do it in her ear. I don't put off urinating. V'baitema, seriously. V'baitema. Or it could be kiha orile. The Tony Abba, Bereda Rabbi Yom HaBarachia, it could be that what he told him really was like this. We were just mikatzer. When we said, hold your penis. He didn't really tell him to hold his penis. Because the halacha is, as we paskind, that misayeya bebeitzi milamat, you're allowed to manipulate your penis by not holding it directly, but by putting pressure through your testicles. And that is not arousing. So mimela, that's what he meant. He meant just see to it that you don't get any urine on the roof by making sure that you urinate off the roof. V'baitema. Or there's another simple answer. Ki ha'orile. Dom Rabbi Avoham Rabbi Yochanan. Look, This whole business about not touching your penis, it depends where. Gvul yeshlo, there is an area which is arousing, and there's an area that's not arousing. Mi'atara v'lamata, from the atara, here we're calling the atara, not the entire area of the atara, but the kodoshitas that hold that the atara always means the rim around the tip of the penis. So the rim around the edge, from that point on towards the ground. Remember, the Gemara always views an organ as pointing to the ground. Up means towards the body, down means away from the body, by definition. So we're talking about gvul yeshlo, me'atara v'lamata, anything above that rim is not arousing. It's not sexually arousing. Maybe sensitive, it's not sexually arousing. So because of that, it's mutter. That's what Shmuel was telling Rabbi Yehuda. Hold your penis, but hold it above the atara, we would say in English. Below the atara, we would say in Hebrew, meaning towards the... It's less arousing to hold the tip of the penis, of course. The nerves end at the bottom of the rim around the atara. And the me'atara lamala, towards the body, the actual shaft of the penis, that is arousing. So me'atara lamala is asur. Omarav, amekashet smoledat, somebody who's always going around arousing himself and getting a hard on, should be benidui. Tosis explains that the nidui over here that it's talking about is benidui. No, it's not like this person is benidui, meaning that the Gemara is menadim. It means that if Bezdin knows that this guy is constantly arousing himself and his mezalzel in the whole issue of self arousal, they should put him in nidui, like with other issues that a person is nikshali. Understand, what do you make such a big deal? Just say it's usr. I mean, what's it? Yeh benidui. Lema usr. No, because the point over here is the komigari yetzahara nafshe. What do you got to start for? In other words, it's one thing when a person is in a matzav in which the yetzahara is saying, do this, do that. So, okay, so you listen to your yetzahara. But a guy who's constantly turning himself on is creating the yetzahara. Nobody has to keep your hands off. Nobody's telling him to get turned on all the time. You got to bring yourself to a position where now you have to worry whether you're going to masturbate. Don't start. So because of that, we want to stop this at the source. And Rav Ami explains, he's called an avaryan. Why is he called an avaryan? Because to engage in a comfortable activity is basically buying into a whole vision of life in which you just end up doing whatever you feel comfortable with. Shekach umnato sheyetzarah. That's the way the yetzarah works. Hayom omer lo atzeikach. One day he says, you don't have to really wait that long between milk and meat. It's not really the araita. It's a minig. You're hungry. Oh, yeah, something so terrible. So you'll masturbate. It's not as if it's the end of the world. Okay, so you gradually get used to machar or merlo asekach. Maybe we can be makel and record the shir on Shabbos, And then the next day he says, go be Isaac and Avodah Zarah. I'm used to listening to you. I'll go be Isaac and Avodah Zarah. Come on. Go be Isaac and Avodah Zarah. L'loch omar l'lech avodah v'dat kochavim. And he listens. V'olik v'ovid. And when mela, any habitual activities that are comforting are a slippery slope. Yeah.
Now that you've said that, what is the major difference between, say, fence around on
Shabbos and the fence
we're putting around over here. Meaning to say, stepping away, not coming close to this
stuff.
Shabbos itself. And there must be a massive difference.
Hey, well, this is not our sugya right now.
No,
I'm kidding around.
Yeah. Can I ask something that's on the
sugya? Yeah, if it's on the sugya, yes.
That all these things, if you look at the masa and practical how it manifests in the world, often you see that people, because they don't masturbate and aren't allowed to do this, they come to even much worse sins. They go to, whores and they adultery and all this kind of stuff that actually happens because they don't have
an outlet.
Yeah. So how do you mishakal one versus the other? And that causes much worse, practically, I don't know in terms of spiritually, but practically in the family.
Well, you really think that if they masturbate, they're not going to go to a whore?
I don't know.
I never met anybody that his problem is that he can't masturbate, but he's going to go to a whorehouse. There are shilas that are actually Piskei Halachas about the question of somebody who's very turned on to, and his wife is Anita, is it better for him to masturbate than maybe he would be Nichshal and Anita? So that kind of thing is brought up. That a guy should go out to a warehouse because he can't masturbate. Don't know. All right, but anyway, whatever shaivas would be, you know. These are shaivas. This is a very cute, from the Avnei Nezer, it's a very cute tshuva on that. So he says, no, he should definitely masturbate. Because since the reason that he's masturbating is to be mekayim the mitzvah being parish from Anita, so maisim tevim are considered to be like your children. So mamela, it's not masturbation because you're having children. Okay, anyway, take some creative thinking to be creative in that way. Okay. Amar Rabbi Ami kol amevi atzmali deyirhur. Someone who brings himself to fantasize, you know, so like he'll badafka be arousing himself in order to fantasize in machnisimato b'mechitzato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not allowed into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mechitza because it says vayera b'inei Hashem. We're talking about Aaron Onan, and it says ki lo el chafetz reshata lo yagur chara zo yagur chara. Lo yagur chara means ra is not allowed to live with you. What does Yeshayahu mean when he says, before the Korban, your hands are full of blood? This is a reference to people whose hands are used for masturbating. So, Lotin Af doesn't say exactly what you're doing, right? Lotin Af means don't be sexually blechy. So that means lo tehebecha ni'uf. Lo tin'af means you shall not become sexually blech. So this means there shouldn't be any ni'uf, bein biyad, bein beregel. I don't care what you're doing to turn yourself on, but you should not be in a matzav of being involved in such activities in the broadest sense of ni'uf. Tonu rabbanu, hagerim v'mesachakim etinokot makvim et ha-mashiach. If you have gerim, or people that play around with kids, now we'll see what that means in a moment, they cause a delay in the coming of Mashiach. So Bishleim Gerim, I understand Gerim is a problem, as Rabbi Chabo. The Omer Rabbi Chabo, Kashim Gerim L'Yisrael Kesapacha. The Gerim, who are Nispachim to Yisrael, are like a Sapachat of Tzarat. Why? So one shot is because they're so makbid on mitzvahs, that they're Ma'iradin against Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these guys come, and they're so much better than you are. Like, why can't you be like them? And therefore, it's Yotze Midas Adin Keneged Yisrael, or Dafka, because they don't know what they're doing, and since Ko Yisrael Arevim Zelazah, and they've become Yisrael, and now they're Mechuyev in mitzvahs, but they're not yet Bekiyim in mitzvahs, so they end up being Mechayev Yisrael, whatever the pshat is. Sorry?
What type of disease? What is it?
Tzarat. Oh, it's Tzarat. Tzarat. Sapachat Tzarat. Yeah. But what does it mean playing with kids? That sounds in the beginning that we're talking about homosexual activity, right? So what does that mean? Even Mishkav Zachor, do we mean that they're actually having sex? That these are pedophiles? I mean, why would we say it's Ma'akim Mashiach? I mean, that's not the problem. I mean, it's a heck of a lot worse than that, isn't it? Homosexuality is b'nei skila ninu. They would be chayiv skila. If it means that they play around but they don't actually have intercourse, ela derech evarim, so they waste their semen by rubbing up against these kids, that's the problem. Makiv Mashiach, we just said that masturbation is b'nei mabul ninu. So I understand, what is this new thing, playing with kids? Ela the deceivik tanot alav b'notu ludininu. What it means is playing with kids, meaning, no, they're married to kids. Not playing in that sense, but we view it as having too much fun with kids that are not yet ready to reproduce. So all of that sexual activity could have been used for creating children. And that is Ma'akev Mashiach. Not that it's also Chas V'Shalom, but that it's Ma'akev Mashiach. Tomer Reb Yossi, Ein Bein David Ba, Ad Sheyichalu Kol HaNeshamot Shebaguf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a certain number of neshamas that have to come to the world. And if those neshamas don't come to the world, then as it says, ki ruach melefanai ya'atof, the ruach that was supposed to come is going to be delayed. Atof, ya'atof, atufim, went to Lavan, right? The ones that were slow to come. Those were the ones that Lavan got, the sheep. So Yaatov, because Neshamot and Yasiti have already made all the Neshamot and they're not being born. Because people are too interested in using sex for fun and not for reproduction. So why should you be playing around with this little kid just because it's so pleasant? You should marry a woman of reproductive age and have children with her. That's the point. So the only thing we could say that's wrong with that is that it's Ba'akev Mashiach.
This would be the same problem as getting married and using contraception to fund a man of children.
Yeah. Ba'anashim tikatzeitz, iboilo. When you say his hand should be cut off, you being serious? Like you're saying cut off the guy's hand? Or are you saying just a cursing kind of language? Ah, hand like that should be cut off. Always holding his penis. Cut off his hand. So dina tanan, do we say, I mean, you say, well, I mean, that's ridiculous. What do you mean a dina tanan? Where do we have any halach of cutting off a hand? You know, I can cut off a hand. So no, because we found that Rav Huna, actually, there was a guy who used to go around and hit people all the time, was very aggressive, was uncontrollable, and Rav Huna, as a, obviously it's usur, but Rav Huna, because the Beis Din is allowed for Tikkun HaOlam to do any crazy thing, Rav Huna actually had his hand cut off, just because it was outrageous. So for Tikkun HaOlam, you're allowed to do as Oira Ashur. You're allowed to do things that are against the Torah. So maybe that's what it means. Let's make a lesson of a guy. You want to hold your penis? We'll cut your hand off. So maybe it means in that motion. So because we do have that. Olatut etnan, or is there more, as is more likely, it's a curse. Tashma, Tanya Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Let's look the way it's put in the Braita. Yad Lama, guy's got his hand on his penis. Cut off his hand on his belly button. Tikatzitz yado al taburo. Amrlo, so they said, what? If you do that, you're going to cut straight through his belly. The guy will drop dead. Halo kreisonivkat. Amar lahem, so he said, well, better cut his belly button open. Vayered leber shachas, and let him not go to hell. So, I mean, if we mean literally to cut his hand off, that would make sense to say, aren't you going to cut open his stomach? But if you're saying it's just a curse, so then why are they saying his stomach's going to cut open? Oh, come off it, man. What are you, crazy? So then what do you think it means? It means literally cut off his hand on his stomach. Now, why does it have to be on his stomach? Couldn't we take him to an operating theater so we don't have to cut his stomach open? I mean, obviously this is not meant seriously. What's the matter with you? So lo sagi de lava taburo. You're saying, and what, we have to cut off his hand on his stomach. But wait! Wait, but then you might cut right through his stomach. Well, too bad. This is just stupid. So it must be that what Rabbi Tarfon was saying is, once you start poking around beneath your navel, you're already likely to start poking around further. That's the point. He's saying that the Mishnah doesn't mean literally to hold your penis. It's the beginning of a process that could lead to masturbation. Well, Marlo the Rebbe Tarfon, I mean, come on, what about, I mean, if the guy's got a thorn that he has to remove, because so, what, he shouldn't take the thorn out. Well, Marlo, there's other ways to take thorns out, use tweezers. Marlo, grace on, if he doesn't have a tweezer, he's going to get an infection. Too bad, says he. It's the same type of far-fetched indication as we talked about before, in which, fine, it's far-fetched, but the point is, you want to talk about far-fetched scenarios, take more into consideration the far-fetched possibility of going to hell and the far-fetched possibility of getting an infection on your stomach. I mean, which one is more kosher? So if you want to talk about far-fetched, stop asking ridiculous scenarios. Continues the Eloh Commissioner. Hachareshet v'ashota v'hasuma v'shinitrafa da'ata. So if you have a chareshet, now b'pashtus, we thought that a chareshet meant that she's deaf. We're soon going to see that that's ridiculous. But let's assume that a chareshet means she's just deaf. Obviously, in the end, it's going to mean she's deaf and dumb. It doesn't have da'at, and therefore can't be relied on. But a chareshet, or a mad woman, or a blind woman, or someone who's gone insane, the Gemara's going to ask, what's the difference between a shota and nitrafa da'ata? Im yesh lem pikchot, if they have normal women friends that can be helpful to them, so those friends could be metakdot otam. They can do the bidikot. They could check for whether there was dam, and then these women would be allowed to eat petruma as long as there's somebody's taking responsibility for their not being roya nidais. What? Chareshet? What do you mean? Just because a woman is deaf, so she can't be baidik herself? Why can't she check herself? The Tanya Omar Rebbe. You know what? The Brisa says that Rebbe says that there was this deaf woman in our neighborhood, and lo daya shebodeket latzman. It was not enough that she was able to take care of herself, but she was the expert on dine nidais in the neighborhood, and any woman that had a shaila on her dam would come and present it to the Rebbetzin, who was deaf. And she would pask in all the colors of the dam in the neighborhood. So why in the world? She was the first of the rabbanites, right? What do they call them?
She went to too many weddings, though, which explains why she was deaf.
Ah, yes, it's that nefesh band, I think, right? They just deafened her. Ela shechavrotea ro'ot u'mar'ot la. It's even worse than that. Everybody else used to show her the dam and let her paskin. So why in the world would the Mishnah say there's a problem of being deaf? Well, obviously, that's talking about a woman who could talk, but she just couldn't hear. A chareshet lahalokha is someone who doesn't have any dot. It's talking about inim adabaret vena shomat, kiditznan. Cheresh dibru chachami b'chol makom, the rule all over where we talk about lahalokha, chareshet, it never means a woman who's deaf or a man who's deaf. It means by definition deaf and dumb, and that word lahalokha is used as cheresh. It's eno shomea ve'eno midaber. There's got to be a better way.
It works, so that you don't bump the table.
No. You're not doing it right.
No.
You're not doing it right. That's the wrong way. That way is not reliable. This is the way.
Oh, be quiet.
Yeah, look at that. Yes, but sorry, Clemon. Ibo Bati Rakfish will zek. The Asuma. Ask the one, I understand, why would a Suma, why would a blind woman require friends to be metaken? She can go, she can do all the bedikas, she just needs to show somebody the bedika, but she doesn't need for her friends to be poking material into her. So why does it say that she's included in this list? Iyutiv dok lenafsha. And then v'tichzi lechaverta. She can show the dam to a sighted woman. Answers the Gemara. You're 100% right. This is a mistake. And Suma and Amishna do not include Suma in this list. Shenitra fadata. Isn't that the same thing as a shota? She's crazy. What are you saying? She went insane, or she's a shota? Is there a difference? I know shota. No, here it means nitra fadata machmat choli, that the woman is going through hell because of an illness, which has caused a mental breakdown. So you'd say, okay, so, I mean, that's not the same as just never having developed a normal mind. But the point is that since right now she's just not reliable and can't get things done properly, that's the equivalent of a shota. Tana Rabbana. What about a male, a kohen shote? How could he ever be allowed to eat truma? So what we do is we could be matbilin oto, we dunk him in a mikveh, and then machilin oto truma the evening, la'erev, that night when he becomes, because even, what's the problem? Maybe he's about carry. Okay, fine, so dump him into a mikveh, and then wait until this evening, and then feed him truma. just make sure that he doesn't go to sleep, because if he goes to sleep, we'll never know whether he had a wet dream or not. So shelo yishan, yashan. If he goes to sleep, then we have to assume he's tame. Lo yashan, then he's tahor. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadik says, "What? Are you crazy? Every single day you could have to dunk him into a mikvah. Make a little kis shel or, make a little pocket for his penis that's made out of leather." Wrap him up in it every night, and then you'll check it in the morning. If he had a wet dream, you'll see if he had a wet dream. Amrlo, what are you, crazy? Koshikage, maybe Eli Dechlum, what do you want to turn him on by having something so nice and soft around his penis? Amrlaim, so what are you saying? Lidivrechem, Shotein, Latakana. What, there's now a new halacha that a Shota can never be allowed to sleep and eat truma? That doesn't make sense. Amrlo, hey man, Lidvarenu, it's very simple. When he goes to sleep, he's tame. If he doesn't go to sleep, he's going to eat. According to you, it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. Because what you're going to say, he has this thing made out of leather. And what about if the guy was turned on in his sleep? It had a slight amount of semen that came out. You're going to see it in this in leather? I'm going to see it. Shema yiret tipaka chardava tibala bekitz. That'd be an effective way of checking whether he's a bal keri or not. It'll be absorbed into the leather. So even if you're right that it's mutter and it's not going to arouse him, but it's not really a good bedika. Tanim Mishum Reb Eliezer, you're right. In the Braita, it says that Reb Eliezer didn't say leather. He said metal. And metal is not going to arouse him. And Abaya explained, Vishal Nechoshet, we don't mean just any metal. We mean copper, because copper doesn't hide any liquid on it at all. Like we see in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're talking about, remember we had before the shiur of how much water you need in order to do the pora. We said you don't really need a shiur, perhaps, a machlokas, if you need shiur agaba de gavra, but you need shiur in the mana that is sufficient to sprinkle on him. So, according to the Chachamim, you have to take into consideration the absorption of the hyssop. Because the givolim, the seed pods of the hyssop, absorb a certain amount of the mayim of the paraduma, and therefore the shear is larger. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a practical shear, it's a theoretical shear. Let's pretend that the givolim are made out of copper. So then they won't absorb at all. That's the point. So if he's saying the choshet, it means this is something that if, in fact, there was any semen in his little pocket checker, then we're going to see. On Rav Papa, says Rav Papa, you see from this whole conversation over here that they said, well, you're going to turn him on because he's got his penis in his little leather pocket. So according to that, you're not allowed to wear underwear that is shaped to your penis, because then that means you're going to be surrounded by this pouch, and this pouch is going to cause arousal. So you see, from your michnasayim are asurim. What? That's ridiculous. How can michnasayim be asurim if they're a mitzvah to make for the kohanim? Now, we thought that meant that they are body tight pants that actually follow your penis around. Says the Gemara, that's not the way that they're made. You know what they were like? They were like what we call today boxer shorts, basically. So they were kamin pamanalia shaparashim. They were like the horse riders. They use these riding pants, where are lamala ad motzayim, they come up to your waist. Lamata ad yerechayim, they go down to your knees, basically, you know, to the end of your thigh, like those long, they became very popular lately. I see them all over. No idea why people wear them, but they sell them all over.
Those long shorts.
V'yeshlem shnatzim. They have these strings that you can tighten them with, which, okay, we have very common pajamas and stuff like that, so, or in sport pants. But Elam lo beta nekev, lo beta erva. They do not have an area. Now, it's tupshat ben Rashi. The one that fits the best is that they do not have an area that will fit the buttocks or that will fit the penis, meaning that they're just loose. So that really translates into this case of the kis. They don't have a kis. The other pshat is they don't have a beta nekev, they don't have a beta erva, they don't have a hole. Like underwear are made for getting your penis out of, or in those days they also had a hole in the back in order to relieve yourself. They don't have that. They're just straight. But that means that they're loose fitting. That would depend on the pshat. In other words, if we're talking about having an actual shaped penis in it, so then obviously that can be arousing. If you're talking about just material, then it's not arousing.